quickly and welcomingly, Irene, but we already did that. So, is someone willing to be our timer? Okay, and it's 15 minutes. How would you like to be timed?
5 minutes before.
Okay,
thank you.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. And hope you didn't have to wait too long. Let me stand up. I'm Irene, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Irene.
I came into OA 1972. I was 32 years old. Anyone good at math? And I had been overweight all my life. I never saw myself as a normal weight before. When I came in, 2 years before, I had all the problems of growing up, being overweight, withdrawn, ultra-conscious, self-conscious. And 2 years before I came into OA, I had some major surgery. And before I had the surgery, my doctors thought it could be cancer. But he said it might be unlikely because of your age. And I got very depressed. I was going to Weight Watchers at the time. And I lost 50 pounds. I went like from 230 to 180, I think. And but when I would go to the Weight Watcher meetings, they would like, be so happy, you know, you lost so much weight. But I wasn't really following their plan. I just, when I get severely depressed, I lose my appetite. So I haven't been severely depressed very much in my life because I've always had this gigantic appetite. And in the recovery room, I didn't have cancer. And in the recovery room, when the doctor came in to tell me that I didn't have cancer and everything was good, the first thing I thought to myself, because I hadn't been eating, and I missed so many good times, you know, I missed like Thanksgiving eating and all that stuff. And this was in December when I had surgery. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to worry about a diet for 2 weeks. And I'll just eat every single thing I've ever wanted to eat in my life. And for just for 2 weeks. And that's it. No more worries, no more stress. And I didn't want to have the stress of being on a diet. You know, I wanted to have relief is what I wanted. And 2 weeks came, and I was still eating. And every day after that, I was on a diet. I tried to be on a diet for 2 years. I was 30 when I had the surgery. For 2 years, I could not stop eating. And the eating had gotten to a point where I had a sensation of my brain being in a corner observing this. And I thought to myself, this has got to be a nightmare. You know, when am I going to wake up? It was like I was compelled to eat. I was never, ever hungry. I was eating all the time. I was gaining weight so rapidly. Nothing was fitting me. I wasn't buying clothes because I didn't want to face Lane Bryant. And all there was then, this was 44 years ago. Well, the more than that, because it was 46 years ago. And I was just, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I was eating to the point where if I took another bite, it was going to come through my nose. That's the way I felt. It was just going to squeeze right through. And I always said to myself, no more of that stuff, no more. In 10 minutes, I was looking for more. And I thought, what is wrong with me? What? Is there something wrong with me? And it was always food. And I felt like I had a big hole inside of me. That it was the kind of a hole that I just felt, it was like the Grand Canyon inside of my stomach. And I felt nothing could fill this, but I was stuck. I was never hungry. But I was compelled to eat, and I didn't want to. I would make all these plans to my family, to everybody, and it was, you know, it was going nowhere. My husband, my daughter were very, my daughter was little. She's 53 now, and she was 7, you know, when I came into OA, she was like turning 8. And I couldn't stop. Well, my back went out, and my aunt had been visiting from back east, and apparently she had lost 70 pounds in her first year in OA. And I came, you know, I had gone to the doctor. The doctor said, if you don't get that weight off, you're going to have, be in a wheelchair by the time you're 50. I was 32. And she said, you know, goodbye. She was this little, tiny little thing that just dismissed me. And I went in my car and I was just crying and went to my sister's house. My aunt, who had been in OA, said, let's go to a meeting tonight. She brought me to my first meeting. It was in a church. I'm an atheist. I thought, ugh. I'm a Jew, but I'm an atheist. And I said, I cannot. The thought of being in the church was disturbing, but I had to put that aside. At the meeting, they were talking about God. I said to my aunt, what's all this God shit? And she said to me, take what you need and leave the rest. It was the first time in my life I didn't debate it. The first time, I was always like, I'll wait for you outside, kind of thing. And while I was there, they read How It Works. I don't know if you read it here. And How It Works talked about honesty. They talked about we're all capable of recovering as long as we have the capacity to be honest. And when I looked at that, I thought, you know, and they talked about carbohydrate addiction. That really did it for me. The woman who was speaking also was an AA, and she talked about carbohydrate addiction. And I was sitting in my chair, and I was blown away. I thought, oh my God, that's it? What's wrong with me is I'm addicted. And they said, and all you have to do is not take a crumb. That's it. That's the foundation of my program. And the way to get past the cravings. She said, and at some point, we lose the craving for these foods. And I felt they had me in their clutches. They had me totally controlled. If I was, you know, so-called on a diet for an hour, and somebody comes and puts a plate of cookies or a big thing of crusty bread in front of me, or pasta, or rice, or noodles, or the sweets for sure, in front of me. Even if I don't like the ice cream flavor, I'll eat it. Mm. You know, if they do that, I'm a goner. They have me in their tentacles. You know, I'm done. I'm their slave. I felt like that. And at that meeting, I wanted it to end. I wanted my life back. I was not the person I wanted to be. I was not the real me. It was all wrapped up in this addiction, had me in its clutches. So I heard this at the meeting, and it said in How It Works that if you want what we have, you have to go to any length to get it. And the fact that they said they were compulsive overeaters, a compulsion, I thought, nobody knows what a compulsion is like unless you've experienced it. It's just impossible to understand it. And so I had a problem, and I was a compulsive overeater, which I never knew that before. I had a problem because I was addicted to carbohydrates. The only way to overcome it is to half measures, it says in how it works, availed us nothing, nothing. And I was a taster. My husband would have something, I'd say, I want to taste. Everything was, I want to taste. And that just fueled the addiction. If it's in the system, there the cravings start. They just, you know, if it's potatoes, if it's corn, which I don't even care for, I stay away from it because I don't want to take that risk. You know, these are the things which set up the whole ball rolling. So it was going to any length. Half measures availed us nothing. I heard that all I have to do is be clean for the next 24 hours. I was incapable of measuring my food at first. If someone would have said to me, look, I'll give you this thing, you have to measure your food. It was the gray sheet that was there then. I picked it up, I followed the food on it. I did not measure my food because I couldn't. And I ate in between meals, but I was free of the carbs within a short term. I remember when my first night, when I went to bed, I said to my husband, I did it. It was the first time in my life I ever didn't have a carbohydrate during the day. I never had breakfast without one before. So that was the start of it. And I went through anyway, and it was very difficult those first days. I don't think I have another one in me. I don't think I could do that again. That's why I have been abstinent for 44 years. Not because I'm great and I'm so strong. I'm weak. You know, I come to meetings. For 44 years, I've been coming to meetings. Why? Because I'm weak. And my husband was in the kitchen once, opening something in cellophane. I started salivating because I thought it was chips. Some plugs he was taking out of the these things, I'm so sensitive. I'm ultra sensitive to all these things about food. And the thing is, so that was the first step. I was on the first step for 3.5 years until I read in the big book of AA, the AA Big Book, where it said, at some point you must develop a relationship with a higher power. I thought I was going to drop dead when I read that. Higher power, God, ugh. And I started talking to people. I talked to my sponsor. I asked her, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to get this? And she said, you pretend. And my daughter was like 8 or 9 by that time. And she would pretend, you know, she used that word. She said, just pretend that you have a God of what you thought of when you were a little kid. That's there for you. That picture that developed in my mind through the help of my sponsor is still there working for me today. I am an atheist, no question. If I analyze this God crap, I lose it. I can't afford to analyze it. I use God. I don't care. I don't have to have the shirt with the atheist logo on it. I don't have to do that anymore. I use God. I don't care what people think of me. I talk God because even though the word is awkward coming out of me, it's what I use. It works for me. A nun and a priest, an ex-priest and a nun in the program, helped me develop a relationship with a higher power. He told me, notice everywhere. Your eyes are being placed on things for a reason, for your benefit. Everything that happens in your life is for your benefit. Look for it. It's there. And I started to do that. I was on the second step, and I started to do that. And by and large, I was living like that every day, and I came to the third step. I was there. I felt God was directing me. I was trying to align my will, which was very strong, with God's will. My will is always out here, God's is here, and when I feel it, I pray, God, please help me align my will with yours. And it comes within moments. And until that moment, I was unable to do the fourth step because I felt like when I got to the fourth step, I got the courage from prayer. God wasn't going to drop me now. I had this very beneficial God, very supportive. But it's there for everybody. It's, you know, however anyone wants to make it. And it took me into the fourth step where I was able to do a searching, fearless, and thorough inventory. And it's still going on. So thank you very much for being patient and waiting for me.
Thank you, Irene. We'll now pass